You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
And it's hour number three. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance on an F-It Friday with you, a football Friday. And Bart, it's hour number three on Friday. What does that mean?
That means it's the power hour, 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 hour. Oh, yes. It's the power hour.
It's almost time.
Oh.
It is. It's almost time. We are getting closer and closer to Fridays with Bart Stradamus during the NFL season, but you know what? It's not time yet. No, it's not time yet.
I'm on the way.
No, no.
No, it's like the wrestling promos, right? When they would show like the Undertaker walking, like he's rising out, you know what I mean, out of the cemetery. He started to walk. I'm walking towards Fridays, baby.
It's that tease.
But
I don't have a fader, though, so I can't fade it out, so I just had to
Bart Stradamus did tell me something, though, before he left.
What did he say?
He told that me and you should have a cooking show because I'm watching Tia from Tia and Tamara. She cooked some potato wedges, and it was the most basic meal, and she got paid a whole show on Cleo TV. And if Cleo TV can pay her, they should be able to pay us. Because we can do the sports section. I cannot believe she's cooking potato wedges. I like she's doing something like it's sophisticated.
I went one stage into a negotiations about a cooking show idea that I had.
Call them back.
And then I just kind of bailed because it's just a lot. Once a lot of people get involved, and then all of a sudden what you wanted to do turns into something else completely, and you're like, I'm out.
Our people needs us.
But there's interest in cooking shows, especially involving celebrities and personalities that can cook.
We can have everybody on, son.
Oh, that's what I wanted to do.
I learned to cook from Fat Bob's Kitchen.
My idea for ESPN is to have a cooking show, like a Rachel Ray type of sports show on ESPN, because former athletes that we have love to cook.
Yes.
All of you guys love to cook. You got Jeff Saturday and his pancakes. Keyshawn Johnson loves to cook. He's, Harry Douglas loves to cook.
I'm the smoke master, baby.
You love to cook. You love food and everything. I mean, I just feel like we're missing something at ESPN.
I tried. Dave Roberts, Norby, make it happen.
Got nowhere.
Make it happen.
Because what we'd have to do, because you think about it more, these types of shows, when do you put them on? You don't put them on.
We can do meals before the game starts, people can go out there, they can try and make the pregame food, and they'd be ready to go.
That stuff. But I think more of
we
a
can
live
tape it,
show.
But they can do it early.
This is when I would put it on. Call me crazy, right after First Take. Noon. Now, obviously, we're on the air. But
lunchtime,
on ESPN,
meal prep.
You put it on at noon, and there it is. Boom. And it leads you right into whose show?
And you the zaddy, though.
2 o'clock.
And you the zaddy.
What does that mean?
All the little house moms and stuff. You're like, oh, look at Allie. He's looking at his little blue eye. Ooh, he's so tall. He's a tall drink of milk. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever it takes.
I'm sophisticated.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
I'm for the thug girls.
By the way, the great Christine Lisi has offered her services as well.
Lisi's treats is like, that needs to be a thing,
by the
way.
That could be the side thing. Every meal we make is accompanied with
Lisi's treats is definitely part of the show.
Yeah,
has
but
to
it,
be.
And then we
you know the cookies that she makes? They're like muffins.
Scones.
They're that big.
They're like scones. Yeah.
They're legendary. And by the way, I've never had one. I was there for 2 days. Never got one.
Yeah, but you got that cookie that they gave out of the little microwave at the hotel that we all stay at.
Yeah, I did. I do get that.
You got walnuts are good. Underrated. Walnut inside of like a oatmeal cookie is pretty damn good.
Phrasing.
So, anyways, that is an idea that I have been trying to run with for a while here.
Well, we put it out there. Now
we have run into a brick wall.
We put the
pressure out there. We got the fall coming. You think, how important it would be to have something like this with all the great personalities we have just dipping into the show, like somebody just walking into our kitchen like, oh, look who's coming in, you know?
Yes.
Chris Canty coming in. What's he making for us today? Like just having that.
And always a company.
We don't have that.
It's like our version of four courses with
Stephen
J.D. Smooth.
A. Smith's joining us in the kitchen right now. What are you making for us, Stephen A., while we talk some sports with you? I love this idea. I want to be the Rachel Ray of ESPN, and everybody's telling me no.
Disrespectful.
Very much.
I'm right there. We can be Iron Chef. We can go in there. We can have guys compete and make like meals for like the big games. Like have different rivals coming. Like we just talked to Max Starks. Like so, I come on and then I cook a meal and he cook a meal for the Steelers and we let the fans and the people in the audience decide who made the best meal.
What's better? While we talk about the games,
yes.
While we talk about the headlines and have some fun. That's what it's about. But it, like I said,
come on, man.
It has so far. Not been an idea that has been received.
Dave, I know you listen every 3 weeks. Dave, hope this elite week. Holler at your boys, man.
Anyways, 888-SAY-ESPN,
888-729-3776. I'll be like Ben Rames and Baby Boy, you know what I'm saying? I won't wear no shirt underneath my my little thing, you know
under
what I'm saying?
Under your apron?
Yeah, under my apron, you know what I'm saying? I just, you know, have pecs out, you know what I'm saying? Have a hair net on my chuck, a taco meat. Be all thing, be a whole thing.
Whatever. Like I said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I love this idea. But we move on with the show that we have going right now, which is also a good show. And is also, this is a topic, Bart. You know, somebody actually was mentioning on our social platform that with you and all your Ravens background, that you don't talk enough about the Ravens, especially in the situation with Lamar Jackson. So I want you, instead of you having a fresh take on the Lamar situation, I want you to react to something regarding Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. And as everybody knows, he has set that kind of deadline for when the preseason's over and the regular season starts, he is no longer going to negotiate his extension. So we get something done now or wait till the end of the season. That's what he's saying. But Steve Young, our ESPN NFL analyst, of course, had something very interesting to say about Lamar and his relationship with the Ravens and who he is as a player.
Why isn't he getting paid to be Patrick Mahomes? Because they haven't given him a chance to be Patrick Mahomes. So until they do, Lamar Jackson's damned because of what the Ravens are doing, not because of Lamar Jackson. I can't wait for someone to train Lamar Jackson in a sophisticated passing game. I think he'd be the greatest player in the history of the game. He's being held back by the Ravens. I want the full measure of who Lamar Jackson is, and the full measure is not being brought forward by the Ravens. And if that's not the case, then get out and find someone who will.
He's being held back, Bart. What do you think of that take? Very strong one from Steve Young.
Well, what he's talking about is the offense that Greg Roman put together. It's a quarterback-friendly offense. It's more based on Lamar's athleticism, him being a runner, than it is on him being a sophisticated passer and having, you know, intricate passing concepts and things like that. That's where they've fallen short. And the reason why they've fallen short as well is because they haven't invested heavily in that position. They didn't go out and get a Stephon Diggs. They didn't go out. You know, they lost the one receiver that they had, Hollywood Brown, because I feel like he was frustrated with the offense.
Yep.
You see that it's hard for other receivers to want to come there in free agency. So they have to maybe show some more levels to their passing game. It can't be more like their offense is like equivalent to Georgia Tech. It's not the full option, but it's more about sophistication. And if they passing game had just a tenth of the nuance that their running game has, everything looks alike. It's so many different personnel groupings and different concepts, motions, different fullbacks, different three tight ends, two tight ends, four receivers. You know, it's intricate. It's very, very elaborate. But where's the sophistication and the vision in the passing game? It's just like 999s and maybe some dig concepts. They can be more sophisticated, and I think Lamar Jackson will have greater appreciation of what he can be because he is a great thrower of the ball. Maybe not as accurate, but if you're not giving him an opportunity to grow that way, then of course it's going to be worse because the other quarterbacks in his class are going to continue to get better at what they're doing because they're getting more opportunities to do it.
Do you think that he could, like if they had a more traditional type offense, that we wouldn't have that conversation? There wouldn't be a hesitation? I mean, it seems like
if he had a Josh Allen offense.
Okay.
Josh Allen, I think, does a little bit of both, right? He's a big part of their running game at times.
Yeah, they tried to tone down the running, though, with him now.
They toned it down because they went out and got him weapons. Gibson is a star. Stephon Diggs is a star. Knox is a matchup nightmare. He's a very capable tight end. So they don't have to use him like that as much because we know how this ends. It ends like Cam Newton.
And nobody wants that.
Shoulder injuries.
Yeah, where concussion. He just gets so banged up, he's not the same player he used to be. All right, Bart, you, again, have purple and black running through your veins.
Yeah, man.
Okay? I know people in New York see you as a Jet, but everybody else knows you as a Raven.
Yep.
So then tell us what you know, what you feel about this situation. Lamar Jackson, he has not signed. Why haven't they gotten this done yet? And when do you think it will get done?
Because I think, Cleveland went Jacksonville on us, or traditionally Raiders on us. Because they had to guarantee. There's no other scenario without them guaranteeing $230 million to Deshaun Watson that he doesn't go home to Atlanta, go to the New Orleans Saints, who made room to sign him as well. It's no other scenario. So now they messed it up because now Lamar Jackson saying, well, listen, I understand that most people would probably say Deshaun Watson's a better quarterback than me, but I'm an MVP. I have a 74% – no, only – Jimmy G and maybe Tom Brady has a greater winning percentage than me, right? He's only lost something like some crazy, like 8 regular season games in his career. Like, it's crazy, his winning percentage. And so, like, what he's saying is, you know what? I remember a guy named Joe Flacco that used to play here, and you guys didn't think he was worth the money, even though he was taking the team to the playoffs, AFC Championship as a rookie, playoffs, went up to Gillette and beat Tom Brady as well. I think I'm a bet on myself. Because that's going to mean that they're going to have to pay me the guaranteed money. And we're not talking about me being in between Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson. We're talking about me being paid more annually than Aaron Rodgers. At the end of the day, if I get hurt, what's going to happen? Dak Prescott still got his money. My resume is greater than his before he got his injury. So I'm going to get my money regardless. But if I bet on myself and I do right, then it's going to cost you double. And even if we don't come into something, you're going to have to franchise tag me. Have you seen the franchise tag for quarterbacks? That worked out pretty good for Kirk Cousins. It's not too many injuries.
It did, but the injury part is what you worry about the most. And I think that's what everybody's saying is that Kirk Cousins isn't a guy that did a lot of running and getting hit a ton.
Yeah, but whereas, Lamar don't take a lot of hits, though.
Yeah, you say that, and I find that interesting. Because you do say that. I don't hear anybody else say this when they talk about Lamar Jackson. Everybody else has that concern. Because, again, you brought up Cam Newton.
Yeah,
and it's like Cam got hit a lot, and so he got banged up. He hit the shoulder and everything else. And obviously RG3, another one that devastating what happened to him.
Kyler Murray doesn't get hit a lot.
And you say, that's true. And you say that about – you keep reminding people about Lamar Jackson, which is something I think gets overlooked a lot.
Because he's fast and
he
quick.
He doesn't get hit that much, right. So the fear of injury would be more non-contact than it would be contact, right?
Yes, because people are just so happy to get Lamar down because he's so damn fast and so quick. Cam would try to run over you. Remember Cam tried to slow down and run somebody over on the goal line?
Yep.
And like, dude looked at him like, you know I'm a linebacker, right? Like, I know you're bigger than me, but pit bulls aren't that big, but they ferocious for a reason. It's a mentality thing. And Cam went to sleep on the goal line. Lamar don't do that. People are wrapping him up or just trying to grab his shirt to take him down. Mm-hmm. So your biggest concern is a non-contact. So, in that regard, I don't worry about him running because people don't really get the angles on him to blow him up. They're just trying to push him out of bounds to get hands
so
on
you,
him.
So you believe that the play for him is go into the season, play it out, and then do the Kirk Cousins thing?
Yeah, because what happened is last year he got injured. So now they're like, see, you got injured. But it was a high ankle sprain. It had nothing to do with him running. That can happen to anybody. That wasn't some fluke. You're a runner and you got hit or you got knocked out. That's somebody landing on your ankle. That's something totally different.
Predict for me. Will a deal get done before the season starts?
I think so.
You think they'll get it? So before week one, before we get to September 11th, he will have a deal with the Ravens. He will be signed and ready to go.
I think they'll meet him in the middle. And they'll make it so incentive based. I think they'll give him like maybe $185 million guaranteed.
Okay, that's big because Kyler Murray's was 160, right? That 235 that he got, or 230.5, I should say.
Yeah. So I think his would be something like they're like, listen, Lamar, we can't guarantee your whole contract. But we'll
so
give
they
you
go 231 and to guess give what? Them the higher.
And he said, remember, Lamar is super young. So they're saying, listen, bro, we're going to come back and revisit this anyway.
Right.
You'll never get to the last part of it. And then the mm-hmm. next part, your next guarantee in your next five-year deal will be 230, but it won't be fully guaranteed because Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow is going to push it to to $58 million annually for a quarterback.
Right. So you think that's where they'll come back to at this
point?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So they have talked, though, right? From what you know, they at least have talked because it seems like there's anything going on. Both sides have handled this, I think, really well. There hasn't been any secrets, anything slipping out,
in-house.
any like sourcing. This has been
that's
very respectful from both
that's how
sides.
We roll over there because Lamar Jackson understands that they moved up and gave him an opportunity when no other team was going to give him an opportunity in the first round.
Good point.
Nobody believed in him. So
and
like,
they
went out and they saw something in him, and that city has embraced him.
Okay.
And that city loves him. That city supported him even when he was getting criticism when it was unwarranted.
Lamar Jackson, 37-12 as a starter in his career. 37-12.
And the 12 just happened last year when he lost all his Ram running backs. Before that, it was like the season before that, it was something like 20. So it had to be like 33-4 or 33-5 last year.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Last year, his final – four, five, six. Final six games, he was 3-3. So there's your three right there, just there. So he
lost the first game against the Raiders.
34-9 at one point. Think about that.
Right.
I mean, that's just a ridiculous record. But, again, all right, so Bart Scott believes they will get a deal done and that Lamar Jackson, you know, with the Baltimore Ravens, he will be paid. And so week one, expect it. At least that's what Bart believes. It's Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're a renter, make sure you're protected. Renter's insurance includes options that cover stolen property, personal injury, and living expenses if your place is damaged. Quote Renter's Insurance at progressive.com. We cool like that. It's Barton Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. All right. So we talk a little bit about Lamar Jackson. How about another quarterback that everybody's excited about that we'll see when he gets his opportunity, a quarterback coming into this year's draft that, again, a lot of eyes were on him. And then where he was drafted created even more of an interest and intrigue, and that, of course, is Malik Willis. And so let's go to Tennessee with Titans reporter Teron Davenport, who joins us right now. Teron, how are we doing?
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on? I came in at just the right time, you guys, talking Lamar Jackson, because it's funny the way people look at him. It's kind of like when you go to the arcade and they had a pop-a shot and the basket keeps shifting. That's how the goalposts shift for him. So I'm glad you guys stood up for him.
It has obviously been the conversation, right? It's always like, well, it's different. Oh, well, it's different. Well, it's different. And Bart's pushback and our pushback has always been, what's different? He plays the position. He plays the system they play. He plays it as good as anybody. And he was already an MVP. How many other quarterbacks under the age of 25 are you saying that about? So that,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. I always tell him he had more passing TDs than your favorite quarterback a couple years ago in the MVP season. So he's got to be a good passer.
Well, all right, so let's now shift gears to Tennessee, where we'll see more Malik Willis, and I'm sure what Mike Vrabel wants is throw the ball more. I can't believe he actually benched him for not throwing enough. Just tell us what's going on there, and what's the buzz about Willis and the Titans?
Yeah, it's fun watching Willis because every once in a while, like, he'll make those throws, like, opposite hash to the corner or the end zone type throws, and you're like, wow, I see why he's a first-round type of talent. But it's just a ground-up kind of thing where they're just starting from the basics and they work through him being able to have tempo into the huddle and command of it and call the play and then get under center. It's not something he did much at Liberty, if at all. So they got through that, and now it's just a matter of him being able to process things, and he's doing that well. But the problem now is just getting his lower body to match up with what he's seeing, whereas he'll see it, but his feet aren't in position to make the throw, so there's a little bit of a stutter there. That's causing him to hold on to the ball a little bit too long.
Yeah, mechanics are what you're talking about. You know, a lot of people in Tennessee may not want to hear this, but I believe that the Colts may be the better team this year because if you can protect Matty Ice with the weapons that they have in their running game as well, you know, in the loss of A.J. Brown, I just think that they may be just a tad better. And if that's the case – you know, we're talking about maybe the Titans fighting for a a wild card spot? And is it a scenario this year that maybe Malik starts off with a package, but the momentum, you know, really, really builds and swells? Everybody loves a backup quarterback and the potential for the future. That maybe we see this as being Ryan Tannehill's last season with the Tennessee Titans?
I think Tannehill could feasibly be the quarterback next year as well. But you make a good point about the package. You go back to 2011, with what the 49ers did with Kaepernick, and even we talked Lamar, what the Ravens did with Lamar in his rookie year. So that is possible. But right now, Malik Willis is the number three quarterback. He's getting snaps like the number two because in training camp, they're trying to get as much development done as possible because once it flips to the season, there's not time to develop a quarterback or really – any players, you're focusing on game plan every week. So they're trying to get him as many snaps now, but I think it would be unlikely for him to take over for Tannehill this year, possibly next year, but there's a chance that Tannehill could come back. His cap number next year, I believe, is $36 million. He counts as like $18 million in dead cap if they release him. So they can keep him.
ESPN Titans reporter Teron Davenport joining us right now as we're talking about the future, at least, for the Titans. But they are a team, obviously, with Derrick Henry. I mean, for the last couple of years, they have been one of the top teams in football. But is there a transition coming? I always like to ask this question, Teron, because we see this with some young quarterbacks. I believe we saw it a little bit in training camp in Chicago with Justin Fields when there is a younger quarterback. And we saw it in New England with Mac Jones. The veterans will let you know. Bart's always told me this. The veterans will let you know if a guy has it or not. So do you get a vibe at least around the team about Willis of guys saying like, yeah, he's got something? Or do you get the sense, I think you're trying to suggest, that there's some work this kid needs before they let him go?
Yeah, it's the second part of your question. Okay. They obviously see that he has it. Like I said, some of the throws he makes, you know, even sometimes throwing anticipation and everything, he's done a good job there. So when he sees it and lets it go, it's beautiful. But it's just a matter of being able to see it and actually let it rip. And that's what a lot of the guys have told me when I talk to them. You look at the game against the Ravens, it was unfortunate. You know, a guy like Traylon Burks, he was open multiple times, but he couldn't really show what he could do because Willis was holding on to the football. Yeah. And that's understandable. And his first coming from Liberty, you know, and facing what he was seeing and then moving to the league, it's different. Things happen faster. There's a lot more you're processing. So some of the guys, you know, really are confident in him. You talk to some of the tight ends especially. They love the way he throws the ball to them. So it's kind of up and down, really.
I mean, you talk about Traylon Burks and, you know, the expectations on him and the shoes that he's going to try and fill. Now, I know they're not going to say that he's there to replace, you know, A.J. Brown. You talk about his skill set, his body, his size. You know what I mean? That made them comfortable in letting AJ go.
Yeah.
You know, how has he looked? And, you know, what's the expectations for him? Is he going to be the number one or number two receiver, you know, by the middle of the season?
Yeah, I give him props for being able to turn a bad situation into a good one because he struggled to make it through his first practice in rookie minicamp. He wasn't even available in minicamp. But he told me he lost 6 pounds between minicamp and training camp. He stayed behind and worked out with the team trainers and all of that. And he actually has been able to stack some really good days and show that he could play. The first joint practice against the Bucks, he had a nice one-handed catch in one-on-ones. And then he made a deep catch in team period. So I think he's done a really good job of just, you know, turning things around. As far as being the number one, I don't think that's going to be the case, especially with Robert Woods and the way he's making his way back from the torn ACL in November. And I would expect him to be the number one. But I tell you, give you a fantasy nugget, Austin Hooper is the guy. That's the one who I think is going to get the bulk of the passes. Tannehill likes to throw between those hashes in the middle of the field, and that's something that Hooper does really well. And they're doing a lot of things together during down periods as far as like special teams time and periods like that in practice where they could get that one-on-one working on the timing and the chemistry. So I think that's the case. And there's a rookie also by the name of Kyle Phillips out of UCLA, very polished slot receiver. He's been giving everybody he faced all types of problems.
Teron Davenport with the latest on the Titans. Great stuff, man. Good to talk to you.
With the juice.
Yeah, appreciate
if I make
you
some
guys.
Money,
take
man,
it easy.
You get 10%.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We got your call stacked up. We'll get to those. And also coming up, there's a running back that's doing a lot of talking. And I have a fantasy question for you, Bart, okay, that we will ask coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, tune into an American League East rivalry Sunday. You got the Orioles and the Red Sox, but it's not at Camden, and it's not at Fenway. It's live from Williamsport, and coverage begins Sunday night for Sunday Night Baseball at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and 7 p.m. on ESPN. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number for your calls. Bart, I have a fantasy question for you. I know we don't do a ton of fantasy football here, but this is a very interesting one. I'm going to give you three names, and you tell me who you trust the most fantasy-wise, meaning who's going to get you the most points if you were going to select this player. Now, it's only these three, and you're forced to pick one. Who do you think would benefit you the most fantasy-wise?
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley.
Well, I'm gonna exclude Zeke because they bring Pollard in to catch a lot of the passes. He's going to be sharing the backfield.
All right, so you have no interest in Zeke. Because remember what Jerry Jones said a little bit earlier this summer, thinks that he should be, you know, like a big part of the offense. So I was thinking, all right, well, that
Pollard,
could be a
– Pollard's the change.
I know Pollard does
guy.
A lot, yeah.
Zeke's
yep.
great in blitz pickup, but, like, Zeke is running out of steam. Like, he's a little bit older than Saquon. He's older than McCaffrey, even though McCaffrey's had the injuries. McCaffrey's capable of being a slot receiver as well. You
right.
know what I mean? So I would go either between Saquon and McCaffrey.
Well, pick one.
It's
all right,
tough
so pick
because
one.
Both of their quarterbacks is suspect right now. So
yep.
Danny Dimes or – I mean, usually the check down is usually a bad quarterback's best friend.
Right. It's a hard decision to make because both guys have proven to be dynamic fantasy football gems.
I've seen it more often. It more recently with McCaffrey. But Saquon's playing for his career and the fact that he can still say that he's elite. So I probably would, even though my mind would tell me go with McCaffrey, my heart says Saquon because he's playing for more. And usually you're playing for a contract and playing for more because McCaffrey's already got his $90 million.
Well, that's a fair point, too. Now, and there's a reason here, too, that I bring this up. It's because that Saquon Barkley, this training camp, he's drawn raves from everybody watching camp or at the Giants organization. They love what they see in Saquon Barkley. And Barkley, too, has been talking about himself kind of reestablishing what he was because rookie of the year, remember – in his first year, and he was fantasy gold as well. Like, he was really good. And then since then, the biggest problem is not their ability. He and McCaffrey, the problem has been their durability. Like, all right, I have him on my fantasy team, but he gets hurt now. He's not worth anything to me. Right? That's the bigger concern because both guys can receive and can run. But I want you to just read to you a quote from Saquon from yesterday where he's also pushing back on some people who've been critical of him, saying that he is more of a dancer than he is a north-south runner.
I said that.
And he said this. He said, He said, I know I've been in the conversation or been thought or been a thing out there that's said about me. He don't know what he's doing. He's just dancing back there. I'm really kind of fed up with people who never played a position and try to speak on how I run a position.
Nobody
we
said.
Called him, so he said running back is a tough position. It's easy to be there and watch football and watch on TV or even watch on film and stop the clicker and say, oh, he should have made the cut. There's a lot of things that go into making that cut. A lot of things that, like your shoulders being square. There's a lot of things that impact your vision. Like his point is that he's tired of being considered somebody that is more of a dancer and less of a tough runner. What do you see in him? What should he be? And do you agree with the criticism?
Yes, I'm one of them that made that he too often is going for the big play and trying to circle the defense by bouncing, stopping, and you know that he's always eventually going to try and get to the outside. You know, so when I see Saquon, I wanted to see him be a 225-pound back and sometimes make guys punish. Like, okay, listen, he's basically the same size as Ezekiel Elliott. Now, do we think of him as the same? Or do we think that Zeke is the physical in-between tackles will run you over guy? And we think of Saquon Barkley as like McCaffrey. Even though McCaffrey would get dirty in between the tackles, we look at him as like a bouncer. But you forget that he's damn near 230 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, he got the big tree trunks. We don't look at him as we look at Nick Chubb. They're the same size. So that's what we need. And sometimes you got to say, you know what? All I can get is – all it is two. I'm going to go ahead and get four because I'm going to run over this dude's chest because this is what I have to do for this run.
So you're talking about not necessarily his physical makeup, but maybe more his mental approach running.
Yes, he runs.
Aggressive, aggressive, that kind of thing.
No, he runs like Reggie Bush, but he's 15 pounds bigger than Reggie Bush. That's what people are saying. Like he's always trying to circle the defense. So people just wait outside because they don't think he's going to run it straight up the middle and get the tough yards.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's not going to get the Derrick Henry up the middle, run you over, even though he should be capable. He should be just as capable as Jonathan Taylor. A lot of Jonathan Taylor runs are straight up the B-gap, straight up the A-gap. And people that don't know what the A-gap and B-gap is, A-gap is the first gap in between the center, between the guard and the tackle is the B-gap. Outside is C-gap. Extremely outside is called the D-gap.
So do you think that he – ironically, he's gotten hurt, but do you think he runs to not get hurt?
No, I think he runs for the home run. And
so you think he's just trying to find
getting on base.
Okay, so that's what it is. So you think it's less about being soft and more about what he's looking for is the big play when he should be just looking for what's right in front of him.
Sometimes you got to wear him down. I mean, everybody here that are Jet fans remember what it was like to watch Thomas Jones.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a lot of dancing. It was getting straight to the point. Downhill, shoulder square. You talk about shoulder square? Shoulder square means that your weight's behind you and whatever you hit, you should run over.
Well, we'll see what happens this year with him because, as you mentioned, for him, this is a big year. For his career and obviously his next contract. And the Giants need him to be the weapon that they saw him be as a rookie, which feels like a long time ago. Remember, he was the number two pick in the draft, and
Gold
at
Jack,
one point thought
Gold
to be
Jacket,
one of the biggest weapons in the sport. That's true. Yes, Gold Jacket, the former GM, once said that about him. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We finish with your calls, and also, can't wait for this weekend. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Alan on Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So, Bart, Jacob deGrom gives you a good start, another quality start last night, 6 2/3, 9 strikeouts, 3 runs, 5 hits. But the Mets lose because they can only manage 2 runs themselves. Although, it was a good game. It was a close game. But
they never do. They never do. Listen, they never do.
But they get the loss. No, no. But you can't argue, and I told you going into the series, the Braves have some get back to get, and they got back.
Okay.
And so now they're 3.5 games back of the Mets.
Good luck.
And it gets interesting. And by the way, there's one more series before the season's over, and I believe it's a 3-game series.
Yeah, we'll tap that ass once they bring Dom Smith back up to create that spark. We'll be ready to go.
Man, I knew this was coming.
That sweetie lefty bat will be ready to go. Listen, he's down there like, you know what I'm saying? He's training like Rocky in Rocky IV up in the former Soviet Union.
You
know what I'm saying? He's getting his mind right. Hell yeah.
He
only went to Dinosaur Barbecue twice.
You really believe that Dom Smith is ready to go?
I believe in Dom
Smith.
Okay.
Well, just, again, looking at this. Now, the Mets have a 4-game set coming up now against the Phillies, who are 10-game back to them. Atlanta plays – this is also important to keep in mind. Atlanta plays the Astros next.
Oh, yeah.
So Atlanta's going to get tested because they're on a hell of a roll.
Did you see the 25 spot they put up on the White Sox the other day? Mm. Yeah.
So this will be interesting to watch in the NL East.
That's a good – okay.
But it's Friday. You know what's coming, by the way, when we're back together? We're not back together next week. You and I are going to a little vacation.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Monday and Tuesday, Mets and Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
And you know who they have lined up?
Who?
So DeGrom pitched last night, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you follow the days, who do you think pitches Monday and who do you think pitches Tuesday?
Taiwan Walker.
No. Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
How do you think the Yankees offense is feeling right now about that matchup?
Hey, they better take care of business with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, well, things are not going well.
Because Blue Jays get you 3, and then Frankie Montas gets you twice.
Frankie Montas, we're not going to see him now for a couple of games, obviously, because he just had the start last night. He was abominable again. But this dude, you better get it right, man.
Yeah,
Gerrit Cole needs to be a stopper. Like, this is a problem. Now, at least Luis Severino is getting some work in and should be on
Herman
his way back.
Herman hasn't been bad. He hasn't been bad. Third, fourth starter.
Has not been enough. That's the bottom line. But it has been ugly for the Yankees. For the Mets, how do they do against the Phillies after losing a series to the Braves? Interesting stuff on the baseball side of things. We close up in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
There's so much going on in sports this weekend. Bart's got.
Can't wait.
Can't wait on Bart and Han.
All right, can't wait. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Bart Scott, weekend's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some things that you can't wait to see.
I'll tell you what, man. Usually I don't do this, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to start off the UFC. Usman versus Edwards, yes. Number two. Listen, I know Usman is the champ. You know, want to represent Nigeria. But, you know, Edwards has improved since their first fight. It should be a lot more competitive of a fight. Let's see if Usman can continue that dominance right now that Nigeria has, all three champs being from Nigeria representing. Let's see. That's going to be something I can't wait to see, man.
I like it.
Let's cut to the chase.
Right.
We know what this is all about.
Get right to it.
We're going to go straight to those Blue Jays and those what? Yankees. Yeah, I'm going to the Yankees Blue Jays because I knew you wouldn't think I would go there. This is important because we just talked about who the Yankees got next. Who the Yankees got next? Don't say the team. Say who they got next.
Who they got next?
Mad Max and Jake, right?
You don't want to Monday. That's Monday.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You want to go to prison? You want to go home, Jake? I need that money, Jake. I need that money. You don't want to see Jake. Jake pissed off because they wasted a good star for him. But I tell you what, man, this is important for the Yankees. The Yankees have to figure some things out. And we hope that Stanton is getting a little bit closer. You know, the Blue Jays is 10 back. You know what I mean? It's not a big threat. But it's important that you're starting to play good baseball as we start to close to September.
Yes. Eventually, the worm has got to turn. You would at least hope so. But they are in a place right now. You could just see it
on
their faces.
We thought it turned.
That's what I mean. But your momentum is the next day's starter. And Frankie Montas sucked. And he can't suck. Mm. So for the Yankees, they've got to get better starting pitching so they're not chasing when they're – and then now they're, of course, gripping the bats too.
And I need some separation from the Mets. I need the Mets to go take care of business with the Phillies because you just told me – you told me that the Braves got to go see the Astros or the Astrongs because they've been kicking – man, yesterday I thought, listen, the Knicks would be great to end up with a first quarter – that the Astros put up. They put up a 25 burger. You know what I'm saying? Those are goals. That's goals for like most basketball teams per quarter. 25 per quarter. You know what I'm saying? Bare minimum. They out there playing basketball on the baseball.
21-5 was the final score of the Astros and the White Sox. Everybody wondering what Bart is referencing there. Yes.
Yeah, 20. Man. So I tell you what, man.
It is wild. But
they are streaking.
Mm-hmm.
And they are damn good.
All right, but as I mentioned, of course, Bart, that you and I now, again, one more break, and then, of course, we dive full on once we
call
get back.
Call it Waka Flocka.
Because we've got football season, and we'll be all in as we, of course, always are. So one more little break here, and then we are back. So we ask everybody, of course, to bear with us, but we will be ready to go when we come back, and we'll go full speed ahead with a lot of fun things that we have in store for everybody, including some public appearances. We're going to be out and about. We could do that now, of course, on the other side of the pandemic, that we're going to start doing more events, being out when we do our shows in different places. So this will be a lot of fun the coming football season. But for you, again, yesterday was your birthday. And because of the Deshaun Watson thing, we really couldn't focus on you because that was such a serious story. And we spent a lot of the show on it. But we had, you know, I did mention at the end of yesterday's show that it was your birthday. And the people that listen to our show, you know, wanted to wish you happy birthday on our social feeds. We've got a lot of birthday wishes for you that you saw. But we also got some messages from people who wanted to send you birthday wishes, including this one from Syracuse.
What's up, Bart? Dom Smith here.
You know what I'm saying? That's all you have to say, B. You ain't even have to introduce yourself, son. I know the nasal voice, son. I know your voice recognition. We down like four flats, Dom. We're ten toes down, baby.
We're keep that forever.
We ten toes down, Dom.
I no longer have
you.
The longer version
from the womb
of it,
to
though,
the tomb, Dom. From the womb to the tomb, but I'm down with Dom.
But he knows you are a supporter. You've been supporting him. You've been a fan of his, and so it was great to hear from him. Isaiah Thomas also reached out,
Zeke,
from
baby.
Detroit. You know about that.
I'm gonna see if Zeke gonna come to the guard with me. So we when we said you can have you and Spike.
Oh man,
and
Pistons,
me and Zeke.
Knicks preseason opener. Piston Knicks also the Garden opener as well. All that stuff coming up. So yes, we're away for now, everybody. But you will see us when we get to September. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.